We'll just take an opportunity just to go to God's Word this morning and be reminded, as we try every Christmas season, what Christmas is truly about. And it's always about Jesus. And that is something the world is losing touch with, isn't it? That Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And so here in Galatians chapter 4, God reminds us that it is all about Jesus Christ. We're going to start in verse 1 and work our way down through verse 7 of Galatians chapter 4. The Bible says, "This I say, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So I've entitled the message, "The Fullness of the Time." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be here. And Lord, may we honor you today. May we honor our Savior. May we honor your Word. And may you use the Word in our lives as we open it together. May the Holy Spirit apply it to our hearts and change us through its power. And so, Lord, we want to glorify you in this service. And Lord, we want everything to be pleasing to you. We ask all of this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Bible teaches here that prior to finding Jesus Christ, prior to finding salvation, that we were in bondage. He says there in verse 3, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. And the Bible clearly teaches that until you're a Christian, until you're born again, until you've been redeemed or rescued from the penalty of your sin, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. You're in bondage to the elements of the world, it says here. And the Bible says that when we get saved, we get rescued from that bondage. Our chains are broken. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Once we are saved, we have no more bondage. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we've been made free through Jesus Christ. Praise God. It says in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come." The fullness of the time. That means when it was God's time, he sent his Son into the world for the express purpose of dying for our sins. Now this time had been laid out for us in Scripture. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was given a dream by God, a vision. And in that dream, God told him exactly how many weeks of years it would be from the time that the decree was made to rebuild Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, until Jesus Christ would go to the cross and be crucified. God gave the exact number of years, which is how the people of Herod's day, the wise men, were able to know. You know, Herod inquired. They were able to predict, based on the prophecies of Daniel, the general time frame when Jesus would come. And of course, the star was there to guide them. But if you go to Luke chapter 2, the Bible teaches that the people who had been reading their Bibles knew that the time was near for Jesus Christ to come to the earth because God had laid it out. Time means nothing to God. Now, we don't understand that because time is so important to us, but to God, time is irrelevant. The Bible says 1,000 years is as one day to God, and one day is like 1,000 years. But way back in about 400 or 540 BC, God gave Daniel a dream. And he said, "Daniel, in the future, there's going to be a decree to rebuild Jerusalem," which happened, of course, under Ezra and Nehemiah. Most of you read those books. And once that decree is given, if you'll count forward 483 years, that's when Jesus Christ would go to the cross. And it happened exactly to that time frame because God said it would. But notice here Luke 2:38, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." This is when Jesus Christ was a baby who came to be that dedicated. The Bible says that there were those who were looking, those who were expecting redemption. They were expecting their Messiah to come. And of course, Jesus Christ was that fulfillment. The fullness of the time had come. It was time for Jesus to come to the earth. After 400, as they call it, 400 silent years from Malachi to Jesus, no prophecies, nothing from God, Jesus Christ was sent to the earth to die for us. It says there in verse 4 of our passage, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth His Son. That is what Christmas is about. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. God made a conscious decision to pay for man's sins. Because without it, we would all go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. But God sent forth His Son. This wasn't a surprise to God. God knew we needed redemption. And God told us when it would happen. And when the time came, God sent forth. If you would look at 1 John chapter 4, please. Right before Revelation, a couple of books before Revelation, the Bible makes it very clear that God sent Jesus Christ to the earth for us. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 9 if you would please. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son to the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The Bible says that we can see the love of God, that it was manifested by this act. That He sent forth His Son to die for us, as it says, to be the propitiation for our sins. Anyone who questions the love of God can't see Calvary. Because there is the love of God. That He loved us enough to die for us. That our own Creator loved us enough to become a man and shed His blood on our behalf. Could there be any more love than that? And so the Bible says He sent forth His Son. Notice back in our passage, Galatians 4:4. It goes on to say, made of a woman. This was important. That Jesus Christ was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. It was important that He be a man, because not being a man, He couldn't substitutionary die for us. It took a man, it took the death of a man to die in our place, but it had to be a perfect man. A man that had never sinned. And the Bible says He never did sin. But the Bible tells us a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And we would call His name Emmanuel, as we just sang in the choir special. That word Emmanuel means God with us. And so God became a man made of a woman. And it goes on to say, made under the law. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law by being born as a descendant of David, which the Bible made very clear. Go to Romans chapter 1 if you would. And so Jesus Christ came in perfect fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, but also to come to fulfill the law, and then eventually, as we read in Colossians chapter 2, nail it to His cross. But notice Romans chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. One day, He will sit on the throne in His kingdom, and that throne is referred to as the throne of David. Jesus Christ had to be a physical descendant of David. If you read the genealogies of Christ in Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 2, you'll find that He was. And so He was made of a woman, He was made under the law, that He might pay the price for our sins. Praise God. And I want you to see in these next couple of verses all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ does for us through His substitutionary death on the cross. If He hadn't come to earth as the God-man, as we read in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. If God had not come to earth as a man to die for us, none of these things would be possible. But because He did, way back at that first Christmas season, all of these things happen for believers. Notice verse 5, the first thing God does, the Bible says, redeem them that were under the law. If you're a Christian this morning, you have been redeemed. That word redeems means to buy back. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil owned us. We were on our way to hell. We were His children, as Jesus told the Pharisees of His day in John 8:44. But the day that we got saved, God bought us back with the blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Secondly, it says there in verse 5 that we're also adopted. And so because of what happened at Christmas and subsequently Calvary, we are not only redeemed, but we are adopted. Notice it says there in verse 5 of our passage that we might receive the adoption of sons. Which is amazing. That God not only rescues us from our sins and the penalty of our sins, but God goes further and says, I'm even going to adopt you into my family. I'm going to make you one of my children. Isn't that amazing that God would do that for us? Through what Jesus did, we are adopted into His family. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if you would look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. I think you're already in Galatians chapter 4, so just look back one chapter. The Bible says, Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The day that we placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our only hope for heaven, as our Savior, God adopted us into His family and made us His children. It's a beautiful truth. They were not only redeemed, but we are adopted into God's family. But God went further. Look at verse 6 of our passage, Galatians 4. He says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now this is really amazing when you think about it. In the Old Testament, they had the temple. And that was the place where the high priest would go in to make sacrifices for the people. Nobody else was allowed inside, especially in the Holy of Holies, where they could only go once a year. And that was the place where they came to worship God and where God would come down. Remember the cloud of fire and the pillar and so forth, and His presence was there. In the New Testament days, after Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. God was saying, there is no more earthly temple. Not a physical one built with hands. Now we are the temple. God not only redeems us and makes us part of His family, He then indwells us. The Bible says we become the temple of the living God. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 1, just over one book from Galatians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After we believed, God sealed us with the Holy Spirit. But God goes further than just to seal us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Bible makes it clear that He indwells us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You know, the Bible teaches that when we're saved, we get a divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. Part of the reason for that is because God actually lives inside of us now, in the person of the Holy Ghost. We are His temple. And He's there to guide us. He's there to convict us if necessary. He's there to comfort us. One of His names is the Comforter. He's there to help us along the way. He's there to empower us, to witness. He's there for a lot of reasons. But we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's even there to intercede for us when we pray, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So because of what Jesus did, because God sent forth His Son, and Jesus came to be born of a virgin and to eventually die as our substitute, we are redeemed, we are adopted into God's family, we become the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we could just stop and rejoice all day just there. But God goes further. Look at verse 7 of our passage, Galatians 4. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, God didn't have to do this. It would have been enough just to say, you can come to heaven. But God says, I'm not just going to give you heaven. I'm going to give you a mansion in heaven, and I'm going to indwell you while you're on earth, and I'm going to give you an inheritance. Imagine. And the Bible says an inheritance is so amazing we can't even comprehend how wonderful it is. Go to Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. What God is saying is that we inherit part of Christ's inheritance, which is just amazing. Notice Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and look at this next phrase, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs. The Bible says we have been given an inheritance in 2 Peter 1:4. The Bible says, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It says, reserved in heaven for you. God has reserved for us an inheritance that can't be corrupted. It can't be defiled because it's in heaven. And of course, we know Jesus told us in John 14, He says, and if I go, I will come again. He says, but I go to prepare a place for you. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Many mansions. I mean, we deserve hell. And because of the Christmas story, because of Calvary, we not only get redeemed and become part of God's family and become His temple, we actually get an inheritance. And the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We can't even imagine. It'll be better than we can imagine. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Isn't that something? That's what Christmas is about. That God became a man and went to Calvary and shed His blood for us. That we might be redeemed from the curse of the law, from the penalty of sin, that we might become part of God's family, that we might become God's temple, that He indwells us, and that we one day will receive this amazing inheritance that will be better than we can imagine. Oh, and we also get to spend 1,000 years ruling and reigning with Christ in the kingdom too. Don't forget that. But remember, 1,000 years is nothing with God. All of this, because the Bible says in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. He told us exactly when it would be. Tonight we're going to talk about, He also told us exactly where it would be. We'll look at that in Micah tonight. But He said, this is the time. It is time for man's redemption to come. And Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. Although the Bible says He was tempted like in all points, like as we are in Hebrews 4:15, all points. There's no temptation that you've ever faced that Jesus didn't face. He faced them all. But that verse goes on to say, yet without sin. He never sinned. When He hung on that cross and said, it is finished, after saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, He became that sacrificial lamb on our behalf, that we might receive the redemption and the inheritance of God's children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. That is something to get excited about, what God has done for us through Jesus and through what the Christmas story really means. The fullness of the time. Let's pray.